Chapter 110. When they got back home, Ron threw himself into his first campaign in a long time. Campaigns had a different feel because there is a goal and a deadline. Campaigns for esoteric value, while they may be noble, seemingly cannot sustain the intensity because there is no end of decision, deadline in sight. Politics and education are bedfellows, but most often meet with entirely different goals. They come from the perspectives of popularity as opposed to the perspective of achievement for the sake of competence. By now, the team of Ron Tuck and Sandy Hums had spoken at county and state events. They were fighting the imposition of what they termed a teaching to the test position that the Department of Education was considering. It was a strange debate. Both Ron and Sandy were proud of the career work they had done in professional development and curricular design. They had, at different schools, radically changed scheduling. Sandy was the much more powerful political force. Her incredible workaholic habits were satisfied by a cornucopia of committees on which she served. She found it difficult to relax. Standing 5'10" with a lean and hard physique, Sandy also exuded an unmistakable sexual energy. It was an unrelenting force, and many of the men with whom she successfully worked were cowed by it. McTavish looked upon her as his tomboy daughter, and she was always acquiescent in his presence. But he had retired, and she had been passed over. Sandy had worked for Middle Hills for her entire career. She had attended as a student. Her only marriage had ended, childless, when her ex just said that she had no room or time in her life for a man. Sandy agreed. She had one torrid affair with a teacher that she supervised. The rumor was that they used to rendezvous in the same office where Audie had removed Ron's door. Audie Ripple was suspicious of the affair that ended when the teacher left the district. The rumor was that he had left the district because he was afraid of Sandy Hums. Audie saw this departure as an opportunity to make a move on Sandy. That was when she began calling him Little Man. Sandy and Ron made a good team. When they grew comfortable with each other, a teasing element developed between them. They had common history at the same state college. She had used her contacts there and found out he spoke really well in public. Then she witnessed it. All the while assessing him, she saw his ease with public speaking. He did not go faster and read his remarks. He engaged larger groups in a conversation and tried to persuade by presenting their sides of an argument and answering questions that arose from those conflicts. He could persuade. He persuaded her anyway. He also teased her constantly. At first, Sandy required proofreading of all major memos from his office. This amused Ron, and he asked her if she did not think he proofread his memos. She countered that she had found a split infinitive in one of the things that he had written. Sandy was a grammar Nazi of the first order. Ron had grinned at her and said, "Oh, well, sometimes I like split infinitives." "You may like them, but that does not make them accurate," said Sandy. Ron proceeded to insert a split infinitive into every memo he sent to her. At first, she thought it was a failing, but slowly she realized that he had been doing it on purpose. "Do you think that I have the time to play Where's Waldo with your memos?" she had accused him. Ron laughed. "Well, since you saw the need to proof them all, I figure it should not be a wasted exercise for you."
"I knew it," Sandy blushed. "You've been teasing me."
Ron smiled his reassuring smile. "Look, your secretary let it out that I sent all my memos to you for what she calls final approval. That's not good for either of us."
"I agree with you," said Sandy. She saw his point, but he did not have to
tweak her for this long to make it.
"It's not great for me to be seen as your boy," said Ron. "I can be more effective as an ally." It was Sandy's turn.
"Well, you do have to work under me, so this is what we are going to do. I'll provide the rationale and the numbers in a global sense. You talk about what it means to the education of the students."
"I can do that with my eyes closed," boasted Ron.
Sandy fixed him with her serious gaze. "Please do not attempt to prove that to me while we are on camera," she said. They both laughed.